Welcome to On DoD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, Jared Serbu.
It is 5 minutes past the hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thanks for joining us for another edition of On DoD. Well, as we've covered many times in many ways here on Federal News Radio, the Army is in the middle of a big rethink of how it does acquisition. The most prominent evidence of that is probably on the technology front. The Army is stuck with a lot of stovepipe technology that's tough to integrate into a single network and expensive and cumbersome to maintain. The service is saying enough is enough now, and to make sure the things it buys from now on fit into a sensible architecture, the Army is developing what it calls a common operating environment. It'll help govern what technology the Army buys, how industry builds that technology, and how the Army develops its own requirements internally. Our guest this week to explain how the common operating environment process works is Terry Edwards. He is the Director of System of Systems Engineering for the Army's Assistant Secretary for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology. We started off our conversation by talking about what the new environment actually is.
This common operating environment is something that the Army came about looking at kind of what industry is doing. There's one thing, you know, if you look at the last 10 years of war, one thing that we found out from that last 10 years is we still had interoperability problems in the field. Our ability to get capability to the field was still slow. You know, the field generated over several thousands joint operation need statements to fill the gaps that they have in theater. All these things resulted in the architecture that we have in place today, which is really complex, and the interface is not well defined. So the Army, looking at what industry is being doing, specifically with Apple and Android, of looking at coming up with a common operating environment that is well defined, that industry can then build on. So what the challenges that we were looking at is, A, how do we fix interoperability? How do we fix getting capability to the field faster? How do we reduce the lifecycle cost of delivering that capability? How do we put in place a open architecture based on industry-based standards that we can build and evolve our system at the pace that it needs to be, at the pace that industry is moving towards? And how do we build this foundation that is cyber secure and cyber hardened? So that was the premise of getting us towards this common operating environment.
So you've laid out the need for commonality pretty well there. For the Army, what does that environment actually look like?
So essentially, it comes down to what is the common operating environment? And that's the first question that people ask. And it's essentially what it is it's a set of computing technologies, standards, processes, and in some cases even products that enable secure, interoperable products to be developed and executed across the enterprise. We have initially focused on applications. So the crux of this discussion today will be talking about the common operating environment for applications, mm-hmm, and services. But the COE is applicable for the transport portion of our architecture, platforms, you know, whether it's tanks or aviation platforms or soldiers or platforms or even sensors. So you can develop a common environment that even those other pieces are built against.
So what we're really doing is settling on a set of standards rather than a set of, for example, applications, right? We're picking standards rather than saying, for example, we're going to use Oracle for all of our databases from now on.
That's right. So in some cases it could be both, right? So we are focusing on standards, right? We are adopting best industry standards to define the components of the foundations. But how we are approaching that is essentially we are defining what that foundation looks like. So within each of this computing environments, and I'll talk a little bit more as we go on and what is a computing environment.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to define a set of standards, a set of architectures, and in some cases a product that will become the foundation that then applications can be built upon.
So that brings us to the implementation plan you just released, and this is right. The point in the process where you really start making, where you start publicizing the standards that vendors and other partners and the Army itself have to build to and operate in. Have I got that about right?
That's correct. So let me just add a couple of things.
Sure.
So before I get into defining what we have done with the implementation plan.
Sure.
So what the Army has done is the first thing we did is we had to organize the space because we recognized early on that one size doesn't fit all. We could not define a common operating environment for everything in our whole enterprise. So what we did, we organized the space into computing environments based on like functions and mission environments. Based on the size, weight, and power, based on bandwidth, based on mobility. Because if you look at the architecture, there are folks who operate in a real-time safety-critical environment. There are the portions of the architecture. There's the mobile handheld portion of the architecture.
Mm-hmm.
There is the mounted pieces which is mounted on tanks and aviation platforms. And there is systems that sits on the command post and the systems that sits on the cloud. So these are pieces of technology that are part of these various environments. So what we did is essentially broke it down into these computing environments, and so we have six distinct computing environments. We have one for real-time safety-critical systems, who we have appointed a lead for, which is the Program Executive Officer for Aviation. We have the Sensor CE, which we have PEO. Intelligence, electronic warfare, and sensors. We have mobile handheld, which is PO soldier. We have the mounted CE, which is PO command control tactical. And we have command post, which is, again, intelligence, electronic warfare systems. And then we have the data center cloud, which is under PEO enterprise information systems.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason for us breaking this together and assigning those PMs, so now these PEOs and PMs can focus on building that foundation for that computing environment.
So it sounds to me like those CEs are pretty well aligned to the missions that those program executive officers already had. But what happens from here once you've handed out those assignments?
So now that we organized the space, right, our next challenge was the structure that we had to put in place in order to for everybody moving in the right direction. So that came about the implementation plan, and the implementation plan has been broken up into kind of two parts. The first part is essentially the structure of how we put in place the frameworks, the governance, the mechanics to orchestrate the building of the COE and how we administer it across these multiple CEs. The second part of the document is the execution plans, and those are the specific guidelines, right, that the standards and specific implementation of what each of these program executive officer shops are going to do to build their particular piece. So that's how we have organized the implementation plan.
So it seems to me that building to standards is one thing, but integrating the pre-standards stovepipe systems that you mentioned at the beginning of the interview that you've already had into one piece is another. How hard is it going to be to bring those legacy pieces of the network into this environment? Do you have a sense yet for how much of what the Army already has is adaptable and how much of it will have to get thrown out the window?
Right. And that's a good question. So for the complexity is depends on the CE we are talking about. So for some of the CEs, these are just emerging capability, and converging to a state is rather simple. For example, in the handheld and cloud computing, those are emerging spaces that the Army is just making investments right now. In those spaces, us getting to a common environment is relatively easy. I'm not saying very easy, but relatively easy.
Sure.
Now there are some of the CEs which are more established. For example, let's take the one which we have the most complexity with is the command post CE, because it's in that computing environment, that area, we have the most amount of disparate systems that were built in a stovepipe mindset. So getting those systems to migrate to what we call to this common foundation is going to be complex. So our strategy is this. First, identify what I call the best of breed foundation. So we're not asking everybody to start from a new state. In some cases, first we are taking an architecture that is already established, a capability that is already established, and then in some cases we are migrating applications onto this new foundation. And some cases we may sunset applications because it is already in the foundation. It's already in the starting point. So in each case, We are assessing at this point the complexity and challenge of this so-called migration to this common foundation.
Mm-hmm. This is on DoD on Federal News Radio. We're talking this week about the Army's new common operating environment with Terry Edwards. He is the Director of System of Systems Engineering for the Army's Assistant Secretary for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology. We'll have more after a short break on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbio. Thanks for listening to On DoD on Federal News Radio. I'm Jared Serbu. We're talking this week about one of the Army's efforts to stamp out stovepiped technology systems. It all revolves around the service's new common operating environment, the set of standards it's now publishing to industry. Our guest is Terry Edwards. He's the Director of System of Systems Engineering for the Army's Assistant Secretary for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology. And Mr. Edwards, you mentioned that all these different portions of the Army architecture move toward commonality in this new common operating environment, they're going to do it with varying degrees of difficulty, you know, depending on what kind of systems we're talking about. But regardless of that kind of system, who's going to play the role of sort of the anti-stovepipe traffic cop? Who goes out and enforces and says, no, you can't develop that in the way that you're thinking about. You can't buy that because it doesn't fit in the architecture. You can't build another silo.
Right. So we have put in place a couple of things in order to facilitate this development. My office, which is the office of the Chief Systems Engineer, is going to be playing the role of the orchestrator. Right. First of all. Take the engineering guidelines, the standards, and make sure it's being interpreted correctly across all the CEs. There's a second component kind of that is called the verification and validation portion of it, and that is ensuring that it's actually being done correctly and people are doing the right things, and that is going to be done by the system of systems integration. Activity, which is also part of the HASALT headquarters organization.
Mm-hmm.
So between the both of us, right, we have the task of orchestrating and verifying and validating that everybody's moving down the right path, and above that is a governance structure that we put. If there is conflicts between the CEs that people don't agree, there's a forum that they can bring up those issues to be resolved.
So once you get to the point where these CEs are up and running, for lack of a better term, and you can say that you truly do have a common operating environment across the Army based on standards, it's probably not going to be too long before those standards start to evolve and change as we see innovation. How do you make sure the environment you define keeps up with that?
So getting back to the first part of our premise, right, is the foundations that we build is based on these open architectures. So we recognize that standards are going to change, and that is going to be part of our mainline strategy of how we evolve to those standards. So what our plan, our strategy is every 2 years we will see this foundation turn. So we either update the existing components of the foundation, or in some cases may have to retool, right, to evolve to some future technology that may give us a leap ahead in capability. So that is part of our strategy of how we're going to get there, to account for this change in constant changing of standards.
Mm-hmm. How hard is it going to be for industry to figure this out? Are vendors going to have to dig through and interpret the implementation plan every time they want to bid on something? Or for example, when you do a solicitation, are you going to make it explicit, here's what you need to do to have your offering be in compliance with our environment?
I think this is going to be great for industry. See, by us identifying the foundation, this common operating environment that we have identified, and making that foundation available to industry, much like how Apple does with its operating system and its foundation for iPads and iPhones, that where developers can go get the set of foundational products from the libraries, and build applications on top of that. That's the very concept that we are trying to adapt for the Army. So now we've essentially leveled the playing field for a number of industry partners to be able to come in and provide capability. It also provides for innovation to happen at a pace that you've not seen before. I mean, and much like what you see is happening in the commercial space.
So you mentioned this is good for industry. I'm sure one thing that they would like is if there was a common environment across all of DOD rather than just the Army. Any work going on with your sister services to maybe make that a reality one day?
So everything that we are doing in the Army, first of all, we work very closely with the Marine Corps, because in a lot of cases they consume the same products that Army units consume, right? But we also, what we are trying to make sure is, as we design these foundations, we are paying attention to what's happening in the OSD space, because there is work being done even at that level at DISA, for example, where they're building enterprise services that help interoperability between the services. So we're taking components of that architecture and bringing it down into the Army architecture, making it part of our foundations. So inherently, we are trying to build our systems, what I call built joint, right, so that we can achieve that interoperability between the services. Now, the question that you pose is there going to be a common operating environment across the services? I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but I think there is a potential that the work that being done in the Army can influence some of the same thinking across the other services.
Yeah, just doing the Army is a big enough undertaking in and of itself, I think. And do we have a timeline for when we're going to declare victory and say we now have a common operating environment? Do you know when you'll be able to say that?
So obviously this is going to be an iterative process.
Right.
So we are targeting right now the 13 time frame, because that's when the R4 gen cycle is when we deployed the next set of software to the field. So the 13 time frame, you will see components of the common operating environment for each of the CEs starting to appear. Obviously, and like I said, in some of the CEs, because it's an emerging space, we could get there a lot faster. In some cases, it would take a little bit longer for us to finally converge to a common operating environment in that space, but since we think this is by design going to be an iterative process, you will see that every cycle that we put out software in the field, there'll be a we'll get closer and closer to where we need to be.
I guess my main question on the timing is when does the time come when we say, okay, we are no longer buying anything that does not fit within the framework that we've defined, or does that time ever come?
No, it does. So basically, around the 13 time frame, we're going to start putting out guidance that says, if you're building applications in this space, for example, for handhelds, you will use this foundation. So you'll see the emergence of that starting in the 13 time frame.
You know, you've hit this in bits and pieces throughout the course of the hour so far, but before we say goodbye, bottom line this whole thing for me in terms of the benefits for both the government and industry that you see coming out of the common operating environment. What does this get us at the end of the day?
This is a major effort for the Army. I think it is going to enable us to achieve a lot of the objectives we've set out to do, is fix interoperability, fix agility of how we get capability to the warfighter, be able to put foundations that's cyber secure and cyber hardened, and to be able to build to do this by reducing the lifecycle costs of our systems over time. And mainly for industry, it now provides an environment for them, right, to be able to provide capability to us a lot more faster, and for the community at large to innovate at the pace that we have not seen in the past.
Terry Edwards is the Director of System of Systems Engineering for the Army's Assistant Secretary for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology. And Mr. Edwards, thanks so much for doing this.
Great. Thank you.
We'll take another break here, and when we come back, we'll hear more about the common operating environment in the Army. Mr. Edwards mentioned the fact that this environment is being built in components by six of the Army's program executive offices. We'll hear more about the technology environment the Army's building and the effort to move toward a more agile acquisition process from one of those PEOs doing that work. On Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, this is on DoD. I'm Jared Servais. Welcome back to On DoD here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This week we're covering the Army's new common operating environment, an effort to get rid of a whole bunch of technology stovepipes and align all the Army's programs to a clearly defined set of standards. The idea, as we heard in our interview with Terry Edwards from Army Acquisition in the first half of the show, is to give industry a predictable set of open standards to build their products to and make sure the Army's systems can work together in some kind of coherent architecture once it buys or builds them without having to figure out how to shove a lot of round pegs into square holes. Mr. Edwards talked about the fact that as the Army builds this new common architecture, it's parceling out the responsibility for developing six different sub-environments to the Army's various program executive offices. One of those PEOs is Doug Wiltsey. He's the new program executive officer for Enterprise Information Systems.
Really, the focus here is to establish the standards that will allow us to apply across the Army a true common operating environment using cloud computing technology. What we've done thus far is in order to... The technology side of this is not that hard. There's a lot of very smart people in this room. I listened to a panel yesterday talk about cloud computing. And so there's the technology is available to do this. The key for us is to understand what standards we set. How much will it cost to move a legacy system into a cloud computing environment? So what does it take to virtualize it? But more importantly, how is the data structured and how is the data used? The key to this is this group knows much better than I, that programs are designed or were designed to have very, very structured data, to have a very proprietary structured silos. And they were done for various reasons to do them. And all the reasons typically were very, very good. Now what we need to do is we need to unstructure that data. We need to put it into a cloud that we can actually touch the authoritative data directly and then use it for whatever calculation we need. To do that, we need to understand what cost it takes to break some of these programs. And this tracks along the lines of the G6 initiative that handles data center consolidation. And the idea here is that we got to understand what programs we need to virtualize, and what do we need to do to the back end to put them in a cloud computing environment? What's the cost? And then is it worth doing that? Because you will find programs that it just doesn't make sense. We don't have the money or the time to do that. So we may literally virtualize them and put them inside of a data center, but they truly are closed. They truly are closed. That decision needs to be made. In order to do that, we've got to be able to estimate the cost for virtualization and reconfiguration of the data structures and then provide those application estimates for a transition. Since we're setting the computing environment, we don't manage all the programs that are going to make the transition. What I need to be able to give my fellow PEOs is, here's what we believe the cost will be depending on how complex the program is. Depends on its operating environment. It depends on how the data structure is actually done. It depends on a number of factors that we need to be able to bin these and say if it's, and I make this up, but easy, medium, or hard, we figure out what those costs are. Because those costs need to roll back into those programs in order for them to be able to transition to a computing environment. So it's a big initiative. We've established, if you will, a sandbox up at Altus. We're establishing one, and what we're going to do is take the EIS programs and we're going to exercise them through this process so we can gather the data, be able to share that data with the rest of Assault, and allow them to understand what it's going to take to make this transition.
That acronym, ALTES, in case you hadn't heard it before, stands for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology Systems and Services. It's a cloud computing platform that the Army's Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems built and operates. This is on DOD on Federal News Radio, and we're listening to the Army's new PEO EIS, Doug Wiltsey, speaking at a recent conference hosted by FC of Belvoir. As we continue our hour on the Army's new common operating environment for its network architecture. Later in the program, Mr. Wiltsey got a question from the audience about why the Army's using ALTES to do test runs on the new operating environment, and why not commercial cloud platforms?
The reason for ALTES is, I'll answer the easy part first. The reason for ALTES is that we can, it really comes down to we own it. And so we own the programs and we own the hardware that's in place with all the operating environments and the services that are there. And so what it allows us to do is to figure out, the harder part of this is how do you take a program that was built in a silo and then change it to allow it to be virtualized and actually operate in a cloud computing environment. Each program's different. The more programs that we can migrate, the better we'll have an understanding of what the cost is. It's not a technical issue per se. It's more about what's the cost and schedule and complexity that another program and another PEO is going to have to go through in order to meet the computing environment. So that's why we're doing it at ALTES. It's just we have the resource, we have the people, and it allows us to get smarter on what we need to do before we put it out on the street. The second question is, could we do this in a commercial environment? The answer is yes. We have a contract through the PM for Power Projection Enabler that has a contract for private clouds. There are both fixed and mobile clouds in that configuration. It's a multiple contract award. The only thing that is holding us up from that is two parts. One's policy, one's security. And let me talk about both. The policy issue is in NDAA 2012. There's a requirement for the DOD CIO to go back and talk about how we're doing data center consolidation and cloud computing. In there is a requirement for a performance plan. In the performance plan, there's a requirement that says, tell us how you're doing commercial cloud capability first, then defense cloud. The Army prioritization was defense cloud computing first, then commercial, then Army. Now, Altus, by the way, is now been configured to be a DISA, inside the DISA DMZ. And so it's an Army-operated DISA node. And so it meets that requirement to be a defense system. So the first question went back to the G6. They're working now is the policy side that says, are we in compliance or is there an issue? And the DOD CIO is working through that piece. The second piece is ensuring security. And it's about data access and security. And so what we're trying to work through is with the G6 is what are the conditions or constraints with regard to security that will be applied to these contracts that will allow them to be awarded. Once I get those two pieces worked out, then we should be able to use this contract, which really is, it's not a commercial cloud, but it is a cloud it's a private cloud provided by commercial entity and operated by commercial entity. That we'll be able to exercise. So it really comes down to those two pieces, policy and then a clear definition of what security is required at what level based on the program and based on the data.
That's Doug Wiltsey, the Army's Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems, talking at a recent conference. We're going to take one more break here, and when we come back, we'll hear from Susan Lawrence, the Army's Chief Information Officer, and G6, for those of you who care about the structure of the Army staff system. We're learning about the Army's new common operating environment here on Federal News Radio. It's on DOD on 1500 AM. I'm Jared Servin. Welcome back to On DoD on Federal News Radio. Well, we started the show with an interview with Terry Edwards, the Director for System of Systems Engineering in the Army's acquisition community. He explained what that new environment is. In this last segment, we're going to hear a little bit of tape from Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence, the Army's Chief Information Officer. She spoke at the AFCEA Belvoir conference I covered recently, and I thought she did a good job of explaining why the Army thinks it's important to move to that common environment. So we're going to play back a short excerpt for this last segment of the hour. Again, this is Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence, the Army's CIO and G6.
What we recognized was there's a lot of duplicity going on in many of our programs, and we know that we can gain a lot of efficiency by doing that, by setting what the standards and the protocols are going to be, what we're going to build to, and then having single PEOs responsible for single environments as we do that. So, for example, in the past, if a PEO needed a handheld device for the system that they were fielding, they procured one. And so at one point we had in excess of 13 different handheld devices when two or three would have sufficed. And so now we have a single PEO responsible for handheld devices. We had a hard time. Most of you know the work we're doing down at Fort Bliss with the network integration evaluations, where we're putting the latest technology onto our operational network and testing it to see if it fills a gap that we can get into the soldiers' hands quickly. Is this last time it took us a long, long time to get the network in. And as we started peeling that back, we said, why in the world is this so difficult? And what happened was we started doing an inventory of the number of NetOps tools at the BCT, at the Brigade Combat Team. How many do you think we found? 78 NetOps tools. It was insane. And so we've already killed over half of them. We're down to 32. And on this next NIE in April and May, we're going to take it down to less than 16. We're going to double it again so that we can get the standardization out there so the PEOs know what to build to, and they don't each have to build their own. The other thing that we're going to do is put someone in charge of the mission areas. That's unique. Because today, when I was sitting out at NetCom, I would call back to the building and I said, this is crazy. I'm doing thousands of cons of, you know, a month because Major Lawrence can submit it. I said, who in the Army is saying that's a valid requirement that we're going to spend money on, especially my time? Because nobody was validating it. So we've stood up our leads for our mission areas. The enterprise information environment is mine. The warfighting mission area is the G357. Before we do a comm, we send it to them and say, is this a valid Army requirement? So guess what's happening? We're going to stop doing these onesies and twosies and these homegrown solutions. So these are our top prioritizations that we're working on right now. I talked about our single identity. The next one is the collaboration services that we're working with our partner PEOEIS. We're getting ready to put the requirement document in and take it to the board and get moving on this. This is going to be our first real test of the agile process of working IT as we go through this. So we're excited about it. We got to get everything over IP. We got to get standardized. So no matter where you serve, you're seeing the same environment as we go through this. And I know you all are looking at me like, Susan, what took you so long to figure that out? Because industry figured it out a while ago. You had to figure it out because it impacted your bottom line profit. And when a company acquires another company, by that night, they're already moved over onto your single environment, your single enterprise. That's where we have to get to. We just had 10 years of unique practices. I'm not even going to call them bad practices, but unique practices. Where there was a lot of money and people could build their own. And so what we got to do now is take all these homegrown solutions and get them into the single enterprise as we work it through. You've heard about the data center consolidation effort. Again, data center consolidation is not about data centers. Isn't that great how the Army works? It's about the data. And what we're uncovering are thousands and thousands and thousands of applications, many of them old, many of them duplicative. And what we're doing now is rationalizing, and our goal, our stretch goal, is to cut our applications and systems by 50%. And I do a deep dive every 3 months with all the commands, and we painfully are going through system by system and application by application, location by location, on how we're doing it. So we've set, again, a stretch goal for them to close 185 data centers. We're on glide path to that, but in fact, we're going to close more than that because what we're finding is that we've got a lot of capacity out there. We're just using it smarter. We've been directed by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to migrate to a joint information enterprise across the environment. There's no reason why we cannot, and we are actively moving in that direction. So your data may reside in an Army data center, a Air Force data center, a Marine Corps data center. It just doesn't matter. And we're going to start doing things a little bit better for you. The first one is, we know that you have committed lots and lots of money over the next years for IT advancements, and we can't keep up with you. I mean, we just tested our first 3G product at Bliss this year, and you guys are already thinking 5G. As we look at your technology's advancings, we talk about the bring-your-own-device environment and how we do that. So we're totally rethinking our data storage and our access. So by setting the standards and protocols and publishing them to you and to our PEOs on what the standards, protocols, configurations of the network will be, we'll save a lot of time and money. Because if you want to sell to the Army, here's what you got to build to. Here's the environment you're going to operate in. We owe you that. And I'm standing back up a configuration control board to get after that so we can get that published to you and keep it updated. Ms. Takai is thinking about doing it at the joint level, which is the right thing to do, and we'll continue to work that. Another area is when we send you an RFP, if we've put a really stupid requirement in there, would you pick up the phone and call us? And so why can we get into a bring-your-own-device environment? If we set those standards and protocols, if we set those requirements, when you log in with your device of choice to the network, you're going to agree to a couple things. One, to those standards. Two, that you're going to allow us to scan you for malware and viruses and for monitoring for insider threat or whatever environment we're going to do. And we're going to keep the data inside of the network in the cloud. It's not going to reside on your device. So as you log in and we authenticate it's you and we know which portion of the cloud you're authorized to be in, then you'll have that access. And at the end of the day, when you log off, you log off, the data remains where it is secured, and you can go lose your droid, and I don't care.
Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence, the Army's Chief Information Officer, speaking at a recent conference sponsored by the Fort Belvoir chapter of AFSEA. We've been covering the Army's new common operating environment this hour, starting with the guy that's leading that new architecture, Terry Edwards, the Director for System of Systems Engineering in Army Acquisition. If you missed that interview, it's at federalnewsradio.com, along with the rest of the show. So are all of our past shows. Thanks for listening to On DoD. I'm Jared Serbin. So long.
You've been listening to On DoD with Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.